Nick and Nobby Go to Hollywood by Felix Meyerhofer. Chapter 1. The West Coast Comes Calling.
Mom, the Smiths are outside with their new baby, Nick yells, as his mother and father hurried into the room to take a look. The Smiths lived next door to the Kincaid family, and they had only been home from the hospital a couple of days. This was the first time they'd had the baby outside.
Let's go see her, said Nick's mom.
The proud parents were sitting in comfortable lawn chairs under a big shade tree with little Katrina in her new rocking cradle.
Nobby, Nick's dog, ran to Katrina's cradle and gave her a big lick.
No, Nobby, said an embarrassed Nick.
It's okay, responded Mrs. Smith. We like dogs.
We plan to get one for Katrina when she's a little older.
Nobby made himself at home, lying as close to the cradle as he could without crawling in. Everyone sat oohing and aahing over the new baby.
Katrina began to cry.
Nobby, without moving an inch, slipped his tail into the handle of the cradle and began rocking her. The baby stopped crying to everyone's amazement, and they all laughed.
What a smart dog you are, said Mrs. Smith, scratching Nobby's ears. You're welcome here any time.
A few days later, the mailman delivered a letter to Nick's house postmarked Hollywood.
Listen to this, said Mrs. Kincaid as she read the letter to Nick and his father.
Mr. Rene, the director of the animal TV show on which you performed in New York City, is in Hollywood. He's going to direct a movie about a boy and his dog, and the studio thinks you'd both be perfect in the parts.
Having watched the TV tape, the producer would like Nick and Nobby to take a screen test. He wants to see this dog with his own eyes that has a knob on the end of his tail that looks like a drumstick and plays the bass drum.
I can't believe it, yelled Nick. When do they want us?
The studio has enclosed airline tickets for the whole family, replied Mrs. Kincaid.
They want us to leave right away.
Nick excitedly ran outside yelling for Nobby.
Come on, Nobby, he shouted. We're going to Hollywood.
There was excitement in the air as the Kincaid family packed for the trip. I hope we have everything, said Nick. The most important things are our two bass drums and my mallets.
Nobby will bring his own tail, he joked.
Nobby was put into a travel carrier for dogs at the airport and checked through to Hollywood. He was one happy dog when the plane landed and he was free again. As the Kincaid family left the terminal, a stretch limousine pulled up to the curve to drive them to the studio.
Wow, we just got to Hollywood and already we're getting this to our treatment, exclaimed Nick.
A local school band struck up a snappy march of welcome as the Kincaid family arrived at the studio. Jumping out of the limousine, Nobby ran to the bass drum and to the drummer's surprise began playing with his tail. The kids and the band laughed at his antics and instantly fell in love with him.
Chapter 2. Nobby Plays Dominoes.
Suddenly, Nobby stopped playing as his tail dropped between his legs. There stood Mr. Rene, the director. This was the same man who had clapped his hands, stomped his feet, and screamed at him during his recent TV appearance. Mr. Rene walked to the front of the band, nervously clapping his hands for attention.
Nobby, running to the back of the band looking for a place to hide, accidentally tripped a tuba player.
Like falling dominoes, the tuba player fell forward against the bass drummer. The bass drummer banged into the saxophone player, who crashed into the trumpet player, crunching the flute player against the trombone player, whose slide slid through Mr. Rene's hair.
To everyone's surprise, there dangled Mr. Rene's hair at the end of the trombone slide.
Let me have that, screamed the shiny-headed Mr. Rene, as he grabbed his hairpiece and stomped off.
As hard as the band and Kincaid family tried, they couldn't help themselves. They all burst into laughter.
Boy, Nobby, I think we're in big trouble, said Nick, trying hard not to laugh.
The next day, Nick and Nobby went to the studio. They were introduced to the famous dog trainer, Mr. Baskerville, who soon became good friends with Nobby.
Does Nobby know any tricks other than the ones he does in your drum act, he asked.
No, answered Nick. I'm going to show him a trick or two to see how fast he responds, the trainer said. Within minutes, he taught Nobby to roll over and play dead, and it wasn't long before Mr. Baskerville had Nobby sitting up and begging. Nobby especially liked the juicy treats the trainer was giving him for learning the tricks. "This dog is easy to teach," Mr. Baskerville commented, "and he's a fast learner. What I'm going to do is train Nobby for a fire scene using hand commands. First, we'll go to the movie set and practice without the fire. The special effects crew is working on another picture, but they'll be finished before Nobby's screen test." For several days, Mr. Baskerville patiently led Nobby through his part using hand signals. The script called for Nobby to rescue a baby from a burning house. Working with the doll, Nobby learned to grab the doll by the pajamas and drag it out of the house. "Nobby is doing very well," a beaming Mr. Baskerville said to Nick. "Without a doubt, he's ready for the screen test." The next morning, to everyone's surprise, Mr. Rene arrived with his cameraman, ready to shoot the scene. Chapter 3, Meanness in Tinseltown. Without looking at Nobby, Mr. Rene said, "Take one, action!" The camera started rolling. Nick and Nobby, as directed, strolled past the house, which the technicians had set on fire. Nick, seeing the fire, yelled, "Fire!" Nobby broke away from Nick and bounded towards the front of the house as Mr. Baskerville gave him a hand signal. With all cameras focused on him, Nobby stopped dead in his tracks. Mr. Baskerville signaled once more. Nobby couldn't move. This was his first experience with fire and smoke, and he was frightened. "Cut!" screamed an impatient Mr. Rene. "Let's try it again. If that dog doesn't get it, we'll find a dog who will." Nick petted a nervous Nobby to calm him down. "It's okay, boy," he said. "You'll do fine." Mr. Baskerville felt terrible. With Mr. Rene deciding to shoot the screen test this very day, he hadn't had time to introduce Nobby to simulated fire. The poor dog didn't have a chance. With the cameras rolling for a second take, Nobby again reached the front of the house. Mr. Baskerville gave a strong hand signal, and Nobby froze again. He couldn't go through the wall of fire. "Cut! Cut! Cut!" Mr. Rene shouted with hands flying. "Forget the contract! Forget everything! You're through in Hollywood!" he shrieked, pointing at Nobby. "I knew you couldn't do it!" The next day, the Kincaid family boarded the plane for their return trip. Nick was disappointed that he and Nobby hadn't been given a chance to show what they could really do. Chapter 4, Fear in the Night. The minute they arrived home, Nobby ran next door to the Smith's house to see Katrina. "Nobby, you're back," said Mr. Smith, who was seated near Katrina. "Wonderful. I'll be able to relax again knowing that you're here to protect the baby." Nobby began rocking the cradle and felt as if he had never left. It was a hot, muggy first night home as an exhausted Nick opened his bedroom window and crawled into bed. Nobby had already plopped himself on Nick's bed and was fast asleep by the time his master slipped between the sheets. Nick was soon snoring as loud as Nobby. In the middle of the quiet night, Nobby raised his head, his senses tingling. Something was wrong. Was it a sound or a smell? He thought he heard a pop, a crackling sound, but where? Nobby jumped up and looked through the window. He saw a flickering and stabbing light coming from the Smith's house. It was the same type of light that had stopped him at the studio in Hollywood. The thought of it made him shudder. Nobby bounded out the window and began barking loudly as he ran to the burning house. "Quiet that dog!" someone yelled as Nobby barked harder than ever until lights turned on throughout the neighborhood. Smoke began to pour out of the house as he heard loud voices and screams coming from within. The Smiths came coughing and staggering out of the dense smoke and fell down on the lawn. Nick and his folks arrived just as the Smith stumbled out of the house. Nobby's barking had awakened the Smith in the nick of time. "There was so much smoke, we couldn't get to Katrina," screamed a panicked Mrs. Smith. "Do something," she begged with tears running down her cheeks. Mr. Smith tried to go back into the house, but Mr. Kincaid held him back. "Let me go," Mr. Smith shouted. "I've got to save our baby." From a distance, the wail of the approaching fire engines could be heard. "Wait for the fire department," said Mr. Kincaid. "They'll be here in a minute." "It will be too late," wept Mrs. Smith. Nobby kept looking around for Katrina. He approached the house, but he could feel the intense heat of the flames and drew back. The smoke was thicker than ever. Nobby's whole body trembled from fear, but he knew that Katrina was inside. His keen sense of hearing picked up a faint cry, and he knew who it was. She was alive. He dashed headlong into the hot flames. "No, Nobby," yelled Nick. "Come back! Come back!" as he choked back tears. "You'll never make it!" The smoke blinded Nobby as he ran in, but he knew his way around the house. The fire was snapping at him from all directions. Tongues of flame singed his hair as he jumped up the steps. Nobby was beginning to get woozy from the heavy smoke, but he had to save Katrina. Moving blindly, his head bumped into an object that moved. It was the cradle. He had found her. In his weakened condition, he jumped up and gave her a lick. There was no response. He grabbed her pajamas with his teeth and gently pulled her out of the cradle. Nobby barely managed to carry the heavy baby out of the room, through the hallway, and down the steps. At the bottom of the stairs, Nobby let go of her. His mouth was dry, his eyes barely open as he tried to catch his breath. He fell over. He grabbed Katrina again and with his last ounce of strength crawled out of the house. He gasped, rolled over, and passed out from all the smoke he'd inhaled. Chapter 5. Who Needs Hollywood? At that very moment, the emergency and fire trucks pulled up. Mr. Smith carried Katrina, and Nick tearfully held Nobby in his arms as they carefully handed them to the firemen. "Put the oxygen mask on the dog," ordered Chief Waters. "I'll give this little baby mouth-to-mouth resuscitation." Within minutes, Katrina started coughing, and the color returned to her face. The Smiths couldn't control their tears of happiness as their baby began to cry. They knew she was going to be all right. All eyes turned towards Nobby. "The oxygen mask doesn't seem to be doing much good, Chief," said the fireman working on Nobby. Nick and his parents waited for what seemed like an eternity for some sign of life. Suddenly, Nobby's eyes began flickering. He rolled over, stood up, and shook himself from head to tail. They were so happy they laughed and cried at the same time. Nobby, still a little wobbly, slowly went from one person to another, giving them all juicy kisses. "I think your dog is going to be just fine and will be around for a long time," laughed Chief Waters. "He's a hero," responded Mrs. Smith. "He risked his life to save our little girl." "They thought he was a coward in Hollywood," said Nick. "I wonder what they would think of him now. This was real fire and smoke." The firemen quickly extinguished the fire. Nick bathed Nobby's smoke-filled eyes with cool water when they got home. Nobby lapped up a large pan of water and began feeling better. It had been a terrible evening for everyone. Nick and Nobby slowly crawled back into bed and slept like logs. The newspapers and TV were splashed with stories of Nobby's heroic rescue. Late one evening, as Nick and Nobby were about to go to bed, the Kincaid family received a telephone call from Mr. Baskerville, the dog trainer. "The producer has read the stories about Nobby," he said, "and realizes he made a mistake in letting the dog leave Hollywood without making a movie. We'd like to try again. We're sure that with the real experience he's had, Nobby will become a great star." Cradling Nobby in his arms after Mr. Baskerville hung up, Nick said to his parents, "There's no need to go to Hollywood. Nobby doesn't have to become a star. He's something even better. He's a dog with a big heart, and that heart makes him my hero."